Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A resolution calling for an immediate and sustained ceasefire in Gaza will be voted on by the UN Security Council today. Now, the draft has been sponsored by the United States, Israel's closest ally, which has vetoed three resolutions calling for a ceasefire in recent months. In Brussels last night, the 27 leaders of the EU called for an immediate humanitarian pause leading to a sustainable ceasefire. Belle True is chief international correspondent with the London Independent and is on the line now. Belle, thanks for joining us on the programme. We know we've been here several times before where we've had resolutions put forward to the UN Security Council, and as I said, every time the United States has been the blocker. So this represents a change, but will it lead to a result?
Well, it depends on what you mean by a result. I think that there is probably a higher likelihood of this resolution being adopted because it is drafted by the US, who I understand have vetoed, I think, three previous drafts of different resolutions. And it does seem to have been backed by other members who've said that, you know, this is a way forward. But if you're talking about this actually leading to a ceasefire, that has to be determined by the actions of Israeli forces on the ground. But this does obviously signal quite a lot of unification across the world in terms of wanting a ceasefire. Often these Security Council resolutions are a form of political signalling about what people want, and the fact that the US is drafting this is a major change from their previous actions. And obviously it coincides with Anthony Blinken arriving in Israel, where he's expected to have quite difficult talks with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu over the conflict and the continued desire for Israel to continue its offensive into the southern parts of Gaza.
Mm-hmm. So you see the UN Security Council resolution coupled with the decision by the 27 member states of the EU as representing significant pressure now on Israel, more than we have seen to date.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we obviously have the European Union leaders coming forward in what has been called a strong and unified statement calling for an immediate humanitarian pause, which would lead to a sustainable ceasefire. That is, you know, obviously a unified voice coming alongside a UN Security Council resolution, which may go through, which again would call for this sustainable ceasefire. We haven't heard this word sustainable before. Usually people have talked about temporary pauses. So that's also a change. We've also had statements from the UK and Australia also warning against this planned offensive in Rafah, the border town in the south of Gaza, where 1.5 million people are sheltering at the moment. And that's something that obviously Anthony Blinken again is going to warn Israel against. So increasingly we're seeing quite strong wording across the world from different countries in different formats calling for a ceasefire and calling for Israel to reconsider this operation in Rafah, mm-hmm. as the situation in Gaza has deteriorated.
So Anthony Blinken, and you know, you and I have spoken before, this is his sixth visit to the region, but this time he perhaps has more power to press for that pause to allow more humanitarian aid in, would you say?
Yes, because we're seeing this sort of almost global shift and call for a ceasefire, and also because we had the call between Netanyahu and Biden talking about US concerns about Rafah, there is obviously going to be Israeli officials travelling to Washington to present their idea of what they want to do on the ground in this town that's obviously sheltering hundreds of thousands of civilians. And, you know, at the same time, this is coming as talks are ongoing for a ceasefire. And, you know, Anthony Blinken has made it very clear that they want to put forward alternatives. The US is actually suggesting alternatives to Israel instead of going all out with a ground offensive, tanks and troops, and attacks in the air in Rafah, something else. We're not entirely sure what that alternative is yet. But there have been some leaks suggesting it could be enforced border controls between Gaza and Egypt, and also perhaps a humanitarian pause first before a continuation of the conflict. At the moment, the key messaging is the situation in Gaza is so catastrophic, there needs to be urgent action right now.
And what are you hearing about what has been happening around Al-Shifa Hospital? Because we have heard that fighting has centred around that area. What is the latest, Belle?
The Israeli military have said that they've detained hundreds of Hamas and Islamic Jihad fighters. This is their claims, including, they say, security officials and commanders during this extended several-month raid into Gaza's main hospital, Ashifa. This is, of course, Israel has accused Ashifa of being a kind of military complex. They've said this even from the very, very start. They claim there's a sprawling network of tunnels underneath the hospital, although they've yet to show, as far as I'm aware, any evidence of that. Sheba Hospital is the main hospital in Gaza. It's the largest. It's in Gaza City. There are still patients and doctors there who have, you know, been present inside the complex whilst there's been very heavy ongoing fighting. They've talked about electricity being cut, patients dying, lack of medical supplies, food and water. So there has been a lot of skepticism and also heavy criticism of Israel because of this raid into the hospital, because it is such a central part, or was such a central part, of the humanitarian response to you know, the wounded, the injured and the sick now, and the hungry, of course, in northern Gaza.
It's just difficult to see how Benjamin Netanyahu might launch an assault on Rafah, given that we have all of this international pressure now concentrated in this one effort and this latest visit of Anthony Blinken. How likely do you think it is that he will press ahead with that plan?
It is really hard to sort of to make that deliberation. I mean, from the Israeli side, Netanyahu has not changed his messaging. In every single speech he's given, he's talked about the need to go into Rafah, the fact that they claim that Rafah is the stronghold of Hamas in the Strip now. He's also approved the plans, the military plans. So really, when you speak to the military officials on the ground, they will say that they're just waiting for the final green light from the war cabinet and then they will go in. But of course, the situation on the ground has become catastrophic. I'm not even sure that word really sums it up. We've got, you know, the UN saying that there is famine basically happening in Gaza. They're talking about 1.1 million people who are in catastrophic levels of hunger. People, children, pregnant women. I'm talking to doctors who are looking after them. They're dying from not having enough food. There's also, of course, the injured who don't have access to proper medical treatments. And then if you add, you know, the displaced, you've got 1.5 million people, most of whom are living in just tents or makeshift accommodation. You put that into the mix as well, and then a really heavy ground offensive where we're talking about tanks, naval shelling, drone strikes, air strikes, troops. You know, that, you know, according to people on the ground, that would be essentially a slaughter. Mm-hmm. So the question is, could Israel, you know, ignore world warnings, the warnings of its closest allies, including the US, who of course pour billions of dollars of military aid into Israel every year? Can they ignore them and carry on with this? Or will they feel the pressure?
Belle, thank you very much. Belle True there from the London Independent.